Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone, to Brilliant Ideas Radio. This is your host, Brilliant Ideas. I'd like to thank you for showing up this morning to our radio show. Last week, we had a little family emergency, and for those of you who have turned in last week, we apologize for not being on the air, but those things happen when you're a one-man radio show. We did have Charlotte Gonzalez scheduled last week to be on our show, but we've had to reschedule her. So apologize if that caused anybody some problems, but we're here today. I'm on my fifth cup of coffee and trying to get this thing rocking and rolling here. And today, what I do want to mention, we do have a sponsor for the show, which that sponsor actually has to be, was my company, BarbecueBoozers.com. But I wanted to tell everybody about a new product we're coming out with. This coming 2012. We've got some new products we're coming out, barbecue sauce that's made with all types of alcohol, which, as you can get by the name, barbecueboozers.com. The sauce made with the sauce, be looking for that. It'll be coming out probably January of 2012. We have a cranberry vodka. We have a hot bourbon smoky flavor. And a new interesting flavor, which is called the margarita sauce. And it's a combination of citrus and tequila. And I think everybody will like it. So that'll be coming out soon. And since I own this little radio show, I guess I can promote my own products. What we have today, we have a special guest. Many of you know our guest on Facebook. You know her as the Heritage Cook. She's the founder and the CEO of the Heritage Cook, and it's a blog, a very nice blog online. And I'm going to get Jane on the line here with us, and if everything works right, we should have Jane. Jane, are you there?
I am here. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm wonderful. How about you?
Oh, I'm hanging in there, and we're doing okay. We're making a shot this morning radio show again. I really appreciate you coming on the show and being our guest this morning.
It's my pleasure. Happy to be here.
Well, thanks for coming. Jane, first thing I want to say is I didn't say your last name because I am the world's worst when it comes to messing up people's last names. So I was going to attempt it, but I'll probably screw it up. So can you tell me how to pronounce your last name?
You bet. It's Bonacci.
Bonacci. Well, that's what I was going to say, but I didn't want to look a fool. We'd like to welcome you to the show and appreciate you coming by. And on this show every Saturday, what we do is we find out a little bit more about our Facebook friends and people on Twitter and people that are involved in the food businesses. And it's become pretty interesting just to find out a little bit more how people got started, a little bit about their products and what things they do. So it's your lucky day. What I wanted to find out is I know a little bit about your blog, and I've been following your blog and all your recipes, but maybe you can tell the listeners a little bit about you, how you got started in the business, how you started your blog and your business, and give us a little background of what you do.
You bet. Happy to. This really all started back before I can even remember. My grandmother used to come out and visit, and she was an incredible cook. And I was fascinated by her, and I would stand right by her side from the minute she got to her home until she left, just watching in amazement at the things that she could turn out. And we made all kinds of things together. We made pulled taffy and cinnamon rolls and chicken and dumplings, and all of those things just still are so close to my soul and to my heart. She passed away
and
you
just want to share these all with the world, I guess, right?
Basically, yeah. She passed away when I was 10, and just left such an indelible impression on me that even to this day I can hear her voice. I can feel her hand as she would hold my little one in hers and show me how to measure ingredients and teach me what I had to be afraid of, or not afraid of, but to be cautious with and measure carefully versus other things that I could just throw into a pot. So the biggest thing she gave me was a total lack of fear. I am not scared to be in the kitchen at all. And as I got older, I realized that that's a real blessing.
Speaking of fear, you're not nervous, are you? Because I know you made the comment about being nervous. This is just like a phone call, and I told you on Facebook, there may be millions of listeners or probably three, but anywhere in between, it doesn't matter. Just picture everybody out there in their underwear, because I am. And
the question really is, are you wearing the tiara?
Well, you know, I couldn't get the tiara to fit my head. I've got a big head.
And
it just wouldn't fit on. I think the problem was the halo was in the way, so that's why the tiara wouldn't fit.
We'll just get you a bigger tiara.
There you go. It has to be about the size of a hula hoop. Anyway, so I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I do that a lot. So go ahead and continue the story so you after because you learned all this in the kitchen with your mother, grandmother, you wanted to move forward and go ahead and tell us more.
You bet. I just couldn't get away from cooking. I've loved it all of my life. And my mother was not that great a cook. She was much better at other things, fabulous gardener and knitter and all kinds of things. So the cooking kind of fell to me in terms of creativity. And I am a creative. I do photography and I sing and all kinds of other things too. So cooking is just one more creative outlet for me. And I absolutely love it.
Now, do you want to sing for us today?
Do I get to sing for my supper? Happy birthday to you. I'm really good at that one. a long career in high tech and all of these other things that go on. And finally, I just realized that my real passion was food. So last year, I went up to the IACP annual conference, and that's the International Association of Culinary Professionals.
Okay.
And I came back from there just completely jazzed, totally full of ideas. And about 3 weeks later, the blog was up. And that's how it all started.
Well, it's a beautiful blog. I mean, I actually get hungry just looking at the photographs. Matter of fact, I posted one of the photos on this site for the show today of the carrot cake. And it looks like you can almost reach out and eat that right off the screen. Do you do all your photography also?
I don't do all of it. I wish I could take credit for it, but I do as much as I can. And probably it's the same ratio of recipes and photography. About a third of it is mine, and two-thirds of it I find from other sources.
Now, I also notice there was, a recent vote online about bloggers and who had the best blogs in the country. And I believe you did pretty well in the outcome of the blogging voting.
I was thrilled. I came in the top 50, and actually I think my number was number 30 or something like that, which was astonishing.
Wow. I mean, how many bloggers are there out there?
I don't know. Thousands and hundreds. I don't know. Tens of thousands, maybe. I was really thrilled.
Now, I also noticed, too, that you're a recipe editor. Now, I guess, have you ever done, like, editing on recipe books or anything like that in the publishing business?
I have. One book just came out by Kathleen Flynn, and I've got another one coming out next year.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's in the springtime. Basically, what a recipe editor is you go in and you help them clarify a recipe. If you're working with chefs, there's a language that chefs have that doesn't necessarily translate to a home cook. And if that's who your audience is, which most cookbooks are written for, then you want to make sure that they can replicate what you want them to be able to do.
Okay. And you say, what was the book that you recently did?
It's from Kathleen Flynn, and I can't think of the name of it right now. I worked on it when it was in its beginning phases, and it didn't have a name yet. Oh, wait, here it is. The Kitchen Counter Cookbook School, Cooking School. It's a cute book.
Now, is that actually on your website?
I don't know if it's on the website or not. It's a great book by Viking Press.
Okay.
And Kathleen Flynn, Flinn. And the subtitle is How a Few Simple Lessons Transformed 9 Culinary Novices into Fearless Home Cooks.
I need to read that book.
It's wonderful. She's a professional chef, and she has a beautiful way of writing that really simplifies things for people that are nervous about getting in the kitchen.
Speaking of websites, too, I failed to mention your website address. For those that are listening, it's also posted on our website. The website is www.theheritagecook.com, and also you can be found on Facebook with facebook.com/theheritagecook. And speaking of the Heritage Cook, what made you come up with the name Heritage? Is it baseball?
No.
Because of grandma, or is there another reason
really
behind it?
It goes back to her. To me, heritage is all about family and your roots. And it's, in my case, of course, it was my grandmother teaching me to cook and bake. I also do our family genealogy, sharing and passing down the lessons that we've learned from one person to another, one generation to the next.
Okay.
In food, for me, that's cooking recipes, tips, and hints. For other people, it's different things.
Now, on this show, what we usually do is we talk about people and what we know about them from a business standpoint and the food business, and we also like to kind of dig into further, find out more about who you are or some of your background. First of all, family, children, married, what's the status on that?
I am very happily married to an absolutely wonderful man.
He must
be
listening.
I hope he is. He's actually with his family today, so hopefully he is. Hi, honey. And we have a wonderful little home and a wonderful little kitty. No children, but I've got some wonderful nieces and nephews that I love very much. And I also borrow other people's kids occasionally.
Yeah, that's the best kind of kids to have, the kind that you can borrow and then send back.
Exactly, especially when you fill them full of sugar and then send them home.
Exactly. Give them a bunch of cookies and send them home to mom.
It doesn't last as long as a drum set, but it is effective.
That's what I'm looking forward to, is one day having grandchildren so I can do the same thing. You spoil them and send them home.
It's a wonderful thing. Nieces and nephews work the same way.
Of course, you'll like this story. My youngest daughter, she's in college and been trying to get her a job because, you know, they get out there and they think it just money falls out from the sky and we send to them for school. And so we found a job for her to babysit after school. And when we sent it over to her and said, hey, we got a job for you. It starts at 4 o'clock in the afternoon to 7 each day, and all you got to do is watch the kids. Got an email back about 20 minutes later, and she said, I don't do dippers. And this is a college student now, D-I-P-P-E-R-S. So I think dippers must be diapers, but she says she doesn't do dippers. So we got to find a job that doesn't have dippers. And then I said, well, that's okay. Just remember what you said, because one day when you have kids and you want to drop them off to go somewhere, I don't do dippers either.
Oh, that just is so funny. The English language is amazing, and one letter off and everything changes.
Well, she doesn't do dippers. Tell some more things about you. What I like to do is kind of peek behind the closet door with people on this show. And you said you sang.
Oh, you really don't want to look in my closet.
Well, this is the part you might want to get nervous about.
Yeah, really. If there's anything to be nervous about, it would be opening those closet doors. Trust me.
Now, you said you sang. Do you have any other hobbies or anything you do other than cooking and working on your blog?
Well, right now, that's just about all the time I have in the world. I'm writing 5 days a week, and it's extremely time-consuming. Probably in the beginning of the year, I'm going to be cutting that back a little bit. I need a little bit of a vacation. And one thing about being self-employed, and particularly when you write on a blog, there is no vacation.
Exactly. Well, I actually have been trying to do blog writing myself. It's very difficult to come up with ideas and come up with something creative at the same time. That I don't see how you do it, you know, 5 days a week, because I had a hard time doing it like once a month. So I commend you for being able to put it together and keep it going, because it just, you sit down and look at that screen, and it doesn't write itself, that's for sure.
Thank you. It doesn't. I found out, unbeknownst to me, that I have what is called an editorial calendar. I didn't even know that. I just put out about 3 months in advance ideas for recipes, and then basically the recipe comes in, and I look at it, and I make it, or if I've made it in the past, I talk about the history of it or where it came from or the ingredients and try and give people as much information as I can so that they are comfortable trying to make something that might be a little bit challenging.
Yeah, that's why I've been reading some of your recipes, and you go into great depth about the background and information about it that it's very, very interesting and very educational, too. For someone like me who's doesn't know a whole lot, I've learned a lot just by reading your blog and getting information from there. And honestly, between you and me, don't tell anybody, but I kind of stole some of your ideas.
That's the greatest form of flattery. Just link back to the blog.
We have a phone call has come in, so we got someone who must want to ask us a question or tell us to shut up. I'm not sure which one it is, but I'm going to patch our phone caller in here for a second and hold on. Hello, this is Brilliant Ideas Radio. You're on the air. Who's calling?
Hi, this is Lori Bakey calling in.
Lori Bakey, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
We're doing fine. Did you have a question for Jane?
Yes, I do. I have actually two questions. Sorry about this. I'm getting some kind of a delay back and forth, so just bear with me. Good morning, my Jamie.
Good morning, Miss Lori.
Are you wearing your tiara? Because I'm wearing mine.
I have mine on, but he doesn't.
Yeah, mine wouldn't fit.
No, we have to get him a hula hoop. No, I really do have a serious question here. It's about pie crusts, believe it or not. And don't laugh, but I do the pre-made. But I know for some people who are oh, my God, hang on a second. But for some who are listening, they may want to hear some ideas from you on how to make a great pie crust.
Thank you. That's a wonderful question.
And before you answer that question, I'll let Lori go, and you can answer here on the show. And Lori, since you called in, I'll give a plug for your book while you're on the phone here. If anybody knows Lori hasn't or doesn't, make sure you check out Lori's book, The World of Las Vegas Dining. It's a great book about all the restaurants in Las Vegas. And Lori, while you're here, real quick, what's the website?
Oh, you guys are the best. Thank you for this. Actually, it's www.theworldoflasvegasdining.com. Easy enough.
Okay. Great.
Thanks. Now, do I hang up and then go back to the show?
You can stay on and listen either way, but I'm dying to find out how to make pie crust now.
Well, I'm going to hang up and I'm going to go back to the show because I have this delay and I have a dog barking, and I apologize for that. So.
All right. Well, thanks. Thanks for calling.
You're doing a great job. Okay, bye.
Okay, now you've been challenged. Tell us how to make a pie crust.
Well, there's lots of different ways. First of all, if you don't have time, there are some very good pre-made crusts out there. I recommend going and getting a frozen one from a company like Whole Foods or something like that because they have fewer preservatives. But that being said... pie crusts are all about texture, just kind of, they're a little bit like making bread, but I think they're actually easier than bread. And all you bread bakers out there, forgive me for that comment. We all grew up using a Crisco crust, and they are wonderful, but they are full of saturated or trans fats, and they're not as good for us as some other things are. So I make an all butter crust, which gives you an incredible flavor. But when you don't use the shortening, you can lose some of the flakiness that gives you. So here's a trick. Add a little bit of vinegar to your recipe. And what that does is it reduces the gluten a little bit, so it makes it a softer, less tough crust. And it also makes it flakier. And then another thing I use is a product called vanilla sugar. And it's sugar where they've actually ground up the vanilla beans and placed them in there. And you replace a little bit of your sugar with the vanilla sugar, and that's just another layer of flavor that goes into the crust. And then when you're rolling it out, you never want to stretch the dough when you're transferring it from the rolling surface over into your pan. If you stretch it, it winds up shrinking, and that's where we get into a lot of problems with the shrinking of the crust and stuff like that.
Yeah, shrinkage can be a problem.
And I'm not talking about Seinfeld here.
I can only sit quietly for so long. I'm sorry.
That's why we get along.
So it's the magic. So the real magic is the vanilla sugar and vinegar.
I think so. Yeah, there are two little tricks that I use, and people love my baking, and they love my holiday pies in particular.
Hmm. You're gonna have to send me the actual recipe in an email, because I usually do like Laurie said, go to the store and buy a pre-made one and pour in the fillings and throw it on the grill, and that's pie for me.
Hey, you know, pie is good. It doesn't really matter where it comes from.
Well, that's
good.
Exactly right. In fact, I have to tell you a quick story about pie. My mother made a key lime pie, and this was for a Thanksgiving dinner, and she was pulling the pie, pulling them out of the refrigerator, and she lost her balance pulling it out and dropped both key lime pies on the floor. Well, I'll just have to tell you, I can speak from experience. Key lime pie is actually still good when you lick it off the floor.
I hope you left the bottom layer.
We just scooped it up, put it back in the pan, and we had key lime pie that day.
You know, what people don't know doesn't hurt them.
That's exactly right. It was all family, so it didn't matter anyway. Plus, it was like the three-second rule. It only hit the ground for 3 seconds, and we scooped it up, so I think we're okay.
Absolutely perfect.
We have another caller. Actually, we have two other callers, and I'm going to have to take a break here for a second, and it'll be a short break. And, Jane, I just need you to stand by, and the callers, please stand by for like 1 minute. We have to break here in the middle of this show, but hang tight, and everybody just hold on. We'll be right back in just about, a minute and a half. So hang on, and thanks for listening. And this is Brilliant Ideas Radio. And we'll be back shortly. Ideas Radio, and this is your host, Brilliant Ideas, and welcome back to the show. And we have on the phone with us here for our interview today, if you're just tuning in, Jane Bonacci, and I said that name correctly, from theheritagecook.com. And we've been having a good conversation about everything from dippers to pie, and we're going to continue with the show here. And we've got a caller here for you, Jane. I want to get them online here since they've been holding for a couple of minutes and see what kind of questions they may have for you.
Wonderful.
This is Brilliant Ideas Radio. You're on air. Did you have a question? Who's calling? Hello. Hello, are you there? Jane, are you there?
I am here. Must be a mistake.
I guess we lost connection there for a second. That was scary. I thought, oh my gosh, the radio show is shut down. I'm gonna try this again. If they're not there, we're gonna have to hang up. Okay.
Hello,
are you there?
Yes.
Oh, how are you? Who's calling? Hello, caller, are you there? Well, welcome to live radio here, folks. Are you
one
there,
of the
Jane?
Challenges.
Yes. Well, anyway, we were talking about trying to find out a little bit more about you, and so we were talking about you do sing, and what other hobbies do you have out there? And hey, as a matter of fact, where are you located?
I'm in California.
What part of California?
In Northern California, we live near San Francisco.
Okay.
Which is absolutely gorgeous today, by the way.
I guess they up there now. Are you close to the wine country?
I am. I'm actually as close to the wine country as I am to San Francisco. So you can find me one or the other place most of the time. And if I had to say I have a hobby, probably going to Napa would be one of them.
Well, that's my hobby, too. Anything that
come
has
on
to
up.
Do with...
Let's party.
Anything that has to do with wine, of course, I don't have to go to Napa. I can go over here to Trader Joe's and get the same thing, I guess.
And Temecula is a gorgeous area where you are.
Yes, it is, actually. That's turned out to be a very very nice area for growing wine. I've taken those wine tours myself, and you take the limo, and you get to go to different places and have five tastings. It's a really nice outing on a Saturday. They've done a really good job there in Temecula, and I think some of their wines have also moved up as far as quality, and people seem to like them.
There's some award-winning going on down there, too.
Yes, there is. They've actually done a good job. Even in San Diego County in general, there's been a lot of awards that have been won recently, and I think it's turning out to be another good area for wines. Not as good as up in Napa, but, hey, it's improving.
Well, I think it's different. Different grapes grow better in different environments, so you've got wonderful products being made all over the world.
Yep. We got our caller trying again, so I don't want to – I'm going to give it one last shot. It may be the system, but let's try it here again. Hello, this is Grillion Ideas Radio. Caller, are you there? Hello, caller, are you there? Well, modern technology is not working today, so it's just you and me.
It could be a long-distance issue.
It may be. Actually, you know what? That's exactly what it is. I'm looking at the number. It's someone calling from overseas, and that's probably what the problem is.
Oh, bless their hearts.
We might know who that is. anyway, unfortunately, caller, if you're still on there, you can hear us talking. We can't get you through because of the long-distance call. So you like to drink wine and go up to Napa.
I definitely like to drink wine.
Now, do you use any wine in any of your recipes?
Oh, I absolutely do. And even if it's not written in the recipe, I'll usually add it anyway.
Well, either in the recipe or in the cook, right?
Exactly. And the more that's in the recipe and the less it's in the cook, the better the food turns out.
I don't know.
And here's a little trick for you guys. You'll love this one.
Okay.
Do you ever make any of the rice mixes out of the box?
Yes, I have been known to do that.
Yeah, I know. We all have. They're wonderful. And they'll say like 1 3/4 cups or 2 3/4 cups water.
Right.
Put in the 2 cups of water and the 3/4, make that wine.
Okay.
Amazing what it can do for a box of rice. White wine.
White wine. I would say it would be amazing, too, because with red wine, it would turn red.
It would, but it would be a little bit odd looking.
Yeah, it might be. Wait, hey, this time of year, it might be good. You could serve rice like that for Halloween.
There you go. Perfect.
You could call it, like, I don't know, worm guts or something for the kids.
Maggot rice. Oh, God.
Hey, there you go, maggot rice. Hey, that might be a new craze for Halloween. Did I give giving out candy?
So
we'll
sorry,
give out
people.
Bags of maggot rice. Well, our caller keeps trying to call in, but that's not going to work. So sorry about that. We can't take the call from overseas, I guess. Yeah, actually, from my perspective on cooking, if you followed some of our barbecue loser recipes, we have come up with some crazy recipes using wine and tequila and vodka. Basically, it's what you said. You replace the water with the alcohol, and because you're cooking it, the alcohol burns off. So usually that's not an issue anyway, but it does add an interesting twist to all recipes.
It gives another nuance to the flavor, and a lot of times people, they don't watch you make it and they don't know it's in there, they think, this is really good. What did you do differently? And it's something as simple as that.
Right. So tell us on your website, what are your five favorite recipes you have on it? I'm sure they're all good, but do you have favorites of your own that you like the best?
Oh, man, that's a hard one. I've got over 600 recipes.
Well, just draw them out of the hat then.
I'll just pull a few out. The chicken and dumplings, of course, is very dear to my heart. And I do both types of dumplings. Did you know there are two types of dumplings in the world? Well, lots of types of dumplings. But when we're talking chicken and dumplings, there's the fluffy kind that you drop in. A lot of people make it with Bisquick or something like that. And then there's another kind that's more Germanic, and it's the kind my grandmother used to make, which are more like noodles. But they're very large, typically, depends on the size that you cut them. And that's the kind that I grew up eating. So the recipe actually has both kinds on it, so that no matter which one is closer and dearer to your heart, there's something there for everybody. I love the strawberry shortcake. Yum! Gail Gand is one of my favorite cookbook authors and chefs, and she's an absolutely fantastic cook. She has a program on the Food Network, and you can watch her any. And these are kind of like a scone, sort of. And I make those with my strawberry shortcake, and it's just amazing.
That's what I like about this show is in morning, on Saturday mornings when I'm done with the show, I go eat like a pig because everybody's always talking about all this great food.
Yeah, I'll be heading to the farmer's market right after this.
So the dumplings and the shortcake, give me another one so people can go look them up on your site. What's another great one?
Well, in honor of Julia Child, of course, beef bourguignon or bœuf bourguignon.
Yep, that's what I said.
How you want to pronounce it. Which is basically beef and red wine. And, it can take you days to make it, or you can do it in a quickie shorty version of it, but it's just wonderful. There we go with the wine again. You got to love it.
Well, you got to love wine. It's good for everything. Like we said, from rice to, how do you say that again, beef what?
Bœuf bourguignon.
Yep, that's what I said.
And I know I'm butchering that, my French friends. I apologize.
Well, Jane, believe it or not, we're actually running out of time.
You're kidding.
You did excellent for somebody who didn't know if they could talk this long. Look what we did. We were able to pull it off, and I do appreciate you stopping in today. And it was an interesting interview. And anybody out there who's listening, make sure you go to Jane's website, theheritagecook.com. It's wonderfully done. There's, as you said, there's 600 recipes. All 600 on the website?
They are.
Wow. So for 600, if you choose one every day, you've got enough there to go almost two years. So there's no complaining there. Everybody should have something to make for the next 2 years. But we do appreciate you coming by and tell us a little bit about what you do and your background, and wish you great success, continued success. And if you want to come back on again, make sure we'll try to have you on later on. Maybe you can tell us about some more about those things behind the closet. And we once again do appreciate it, and enjoy the farmer's market. And thanks for stopping by.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been fun.
Thank you. And there you go, folks. That was Jane Bonacci, the CEO and founder of The Heritage Cook. Make sure you check out her website at www.theheritagecook.com. And she's also on Facebook. It's www.facebook.com/theheritagecook. We appreciate everybody stopping by. Sorry that some of you who tried to call in, we couldn't take your call today. There seems to be an issue. I think it was a delay from coming from overseas with these overseas numbers, but thank you for trying to call in and listening. And make sure you tune in next week at the same time. We do this every Saturday at 8:30 Pacific time, 11:30 East Coast time, Grillion Ideas Radio, and we'll have another guest and find out more about food and more about our friends. Hope everybody has a nice weekend, and be careful out there and make sure to grill something or cook something this weekend for somebody that's close to the heart. Everybody take care, and we'll see you next week.